Happy Hour with your hosts Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smokin' Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Are you ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour? Are you ready, Rufus? Maybe Rufus ain't ready, but I'm ready. I'm ready for the Hypersloth Happy Hour. I hope people around the world ready for the Hypersloth Happy Hour, too. I wonder how everybody's week's going, man. It's Friday. We're just trying to relax a little bit here on the Hypersloth Happy Hour. Rufus, you ready for this Hypersloth Happy Hour?
I was ready yesterday.
Oh, wow. Rufus, is it like that, huh? It's like that, blood? It's like that?
No, I'm just saying I'm always ready. I'm ready all the time. That's what I mean. Jesus Christ. That came out bad.
Hey, dude. Coming at you straight out Roehampton. This is ZZZ. Coming at you.
Oh, my God. Look at you throwing it down.
That's right. Friday. It's Hip Hop Friday. That's what we call it on here. So you know what we're going to do? Halfway through this set, we're going to jam out our favorite rap song called Fried Eggs and Ham, motherfuckers. You down with
that? Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. He's down. He's down. That's about the whitest yeah boy I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Like a parrot. So, Rufus, what do you think about our Friday show? What are you thinking? You excited? You excited that it's Friday?
Yeah, I think we should try something different and just wing it. I mean, I know that our normal Tuesdays and Thursday shows are totally scripted and by the book, and you know all the bits are pre-planned. I think for Friday, let's just see what happens.
Dude, I'm a little nervous just to go outside the box a little bit. Now that you're putting the pressure on, I think I'll probably collapse.
Well, that's cool. Hey, if that's what happens, that's what happens. That's live radio, man. You collapse and I'll do play-by-play. Oh, no, he's taking a knee. Uh-oh,
here comes the chest pains. Oh, man.
Wow, they were always there.
Well, yeah, but these seem extra bad because now I can't feel my pinky on my left hand. Is that weird? Or is that totally
normal?
Dude,
I hope that's normal because I swear to God that happens to me a lot. I'm blaming it on playing guitar, but my pinky on my left hand and the whole, like, that part of the meat of my hand goes numb a lot.
Mine does, too, and I never thought of blaming it on the guitar, but I think I will from now on. Thank you, Rufus.
Yeah. Blaming it on the guitar creates a lot less panic. I'll put it that way.
And you're right, because 9 times out of 10, I can talk myself down from going, you know what, I bet everybody's arm is numb from the elbow down. That's probably totally normal.
Sure.
It has like a pinching nerve feeling in the back of the tricep area. That's normal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and everybody's left eye sometimes goes completely blind while your jaw is hurting. I mean, that happens.
And it's probably just a coincidence. It only happens after I eat a giant bowl of popcorn with fake butter on top. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's probably just a coincidence.
You know what? Honestly, a big tub of popcorn with fake butter on it is worth the worry, I think, honestly.
You think so? Oh, well, I'll have to cut out my nightly giant tub of fake butter on popcorn. And just
I'm willing to deal with the worry just to have me some of that popcorn because that shit's good.
That is good. You know, and what's funny is for the longest time I never liked popcorn, and I don't know why I started liking it in like the last 5 years. For like ever, I was like, yeah, fucking popcorn's gross. But then, I don't know, I was reborn as a popcorn believer. I think the Monkees made a radio song out of that, right?
Yeah, but
popcorn
didn't believer. Popcorn plain is pretty much useless. But yeah, if you got butter on it, here's what you do, man. Here's what you do. You get the buttered popcorn, either at the theater or you can buy it now, or you can make it.
Yeah.
But then before you eat it, sprinkle a bunch of Parmesan cheese on it and shake that shit up. Now
I do that, actually. I do that. I like to do let me tell you what I like to do, Rufus. I like your Parmesan cheese idea, but I like to kick it up a notch with a little garlic powder on that motherfucker. That's how I roll.
Man, you're rolling faster than me.
I am.
That's awesome.
I'm telling you, I'm digging it. I'm rolling not gin and juice, but popcorn and garlic powder. That's how I roll.
That's dope.
Ask my cardiologist. He say I roll right down the hallway on a gurney of death.
Jesus Christ. Whenever you leave the cardiologist, does he give you a movie ticket stub? He's like, here, because you're going to be coming back in.
He stamps my hand usually after I leave the ER. He's like, this guy will be back. Hey, you know what, Rufus? Have you seen this thing where they're trying to like say that this guy that killed that chick is innocent? This guy that The Making of a Murderer, I think. Have you seen this show on Netflix?
I have not. I've seen some headlines about it, and somebody, a friend of mine on Facebook, said something about it, but I really have no clue what it's all about. What's the deal?
Well, let me hit this to you in a nutshell, okay? The guy,
sure.
Let me start by saying this about the guy. He threw his cat into a fire after covering it with oil and gas. Do you think he's capable of murder?
I would say he's already guilty of it.
Thank you very much. This guy should fucking be put away for good. Yes, he got railroaded. This guy actually got railroaded, right? And he spent 18 years in jail. He shouldn't have been there. I mean, my personal opinion is he should have been there because he burned up this cat before he went to jail for allegedly assaulting this woman. But then he gets out, and like within the span of 4 years, he decides to kill some lady for real. Okay? And now all these people are like on this bandwagon. After watching this like made-for-Netflix miniseries, like, the guy's not guilty of killing this second chick when he's totally fucking guilty. It's obvious to anybody that has more than two fucking brain cells, right? And all these fucking hipsters are jumping on this bandwagon. Let the fucking guy out. He's not guilty, blah, blah, blah. All right. My personal opinion is if you want this guy out, he has to live fucking next door to you. He can just go around spending one night in everybody's fucking neighborhood, you know, and then when they do figure out that he's guilty again and they put him on death row, we do a TV show, Rufus. I just thought of this. A TV show where the worst celebrity chefs in America cook him his last meal. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's brilliant.
So I hope he goes back to jail.
Is it like a miniseries based on a true story, or is it like a documentary?
Well, it's a documentary. You know what I mean? Supposedly, there's like, let's just say there's a pretty serious slant towards the guy's side just to make it intriguing. Does that make sense?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess if he gets out, he should get to go live next door to the people who put the miniseries together. There you go. There's your answer.
And there's your next show.
And there's your next show. He can kill them. And then I will be happy.
Hey, try to Skype me in so we have some video going, even though lately I've not been able to see you at all for some reason.
I know. I can't see you right now. Can you see me?
Well, we're not Skyped.
Oh, I called you on Skype. You didn't answer.
I wasn't here. I was peeping.
Oh, where were you exactly?
In the turlet.
Hey, Phyllis Batista wants to friend me on Skype. Do you know her? Phyllis Batista, please call us at, what is our number here, Rufus? She's 646-478-0616. We'd like to talk to you. She wants to friend me on Skype.
Wow. Apparently, Cara Ambrose, and also Bailey 848 want to friend me on Skype. It's amazing. All these people just want to friend me on Skype. I don't know how they find me.
You are a popular guy. You're very popular. Among other places. You're popular on Facebook as well, so I've noticed.
Well, I do have a lot of friends. Only 1% are real, including you.
Your friends in the 1%?
Yeah, my friends. I'm friends with the elite of the elite.
You are. You're the upper crust elite. I think that's what they call you.
I'm the upper buttered crust with garlic powder on top.
What do they call that crust that you fold like 50 fucking times together to make it super flaky? That's the eliteness that you have reached. You're like the creme brulee of eliteness.
I thought that was just a Pillsbury biscuit out of the can.
Well, little did they know that, all the fancy bakeries in France do it by hand, but here in America you can buy it in a can that explodes when you take the wrapper off. It's pretty cool.
Dude, how stressful is that shit when you're opening that can? I fucking hate
it,
dude.
Why don't they invent a game like that? It's like the ultimate hot potato game. That you're like holding it. But you ever notice that it never fucking pops open when you just want it to? Then you
no.
have to like start slamming on the fucking counter to get it to pop open.
Dude,
you're
right. You like twist it and you're like, okay, and it doesn't pop. And then from that point on, you're like holding it at arm's length with your eyes squinted.
The fucking
thinking it's
going to
blow up in your face. Biscuits should not be that stressful.
No, they should not. Did I ever tell you about the time I had a heart attack holding a can of biscuits? Because I wasn't sure when it was going to go off.
Which time?
Right. That's a good question, Rufus. It was the time where I wasn't drinking the gravy with a ladle. That time.
Wow.
So what's new in the Rufus part of the world? What's going down down there in Arkansas, Rufus?
It's cold as fuck. I mean, for Arkansas, it's tamer than last winter, but it's now hitting, and it's cold. I mean, it's not like what you're used to there in Colorado, but you know, for us out
right.
here, it's pretty cold. And
you know, what do you think about like the East Coast is about to get 50 feet of snow or whatever?
That's pretty crazy. Everybody's going ape shit about it. So I can't wait to see all my friends on the East Coast post all their Facebook pics. I mean, if they survive, of course. But apparently, it's the biggest, you know, the world-changing tragedy that's forthcoming, just like last year.
You know what? You know what we should do, dude? We should do a preemptive Facebook meme thing where we put, like, pictures of a snowflake over our faces. Are you down for that? It's like
we're
a ghost.
In solidarity.
For people that are
in solidarity with the storm.
I mean, I really feel bad for them. I hope they stocked up on milk and bread like the cops told them to.
We should start like a GoFundMe campaign, a preemptive GoFundMe campaign to support the victims of the East
the
Coast
blizzard.
Snow.
We should. Especially the people that were caught without enough beer to drink. That's what we should do. We should start a fund to get a keg truck together and go door to door and make sure that people have beer during the blizzard.
We should invent some sort of, maybe this is our GoFundMe campaign, some sort of, like, you know, distillery unit that you can set up when it snows. It just converts the snow directly into, like, moonshine or beer. This falls into the barrel, and then by the time you wake up, you've just got a shitload of fucking booze.
We should do that. You're right. It could be, I mean, they make vodkas. They're like all the ice vodkas and all that stuff. Why not make snow vodka?
That would sell. That sounds like something a hipster would totally fucking buy.
You know
no
what?
Vodka.
Speaking of hipsters, dude, tell me that the Tusk Buffer pick was not the ultimate fucking hipster fail, if there ever was one. Do you want a pick made out of a mammoth tooth or a mammoth tusk? I mean,
no,
Jesus Christ,
that strikes me as
disrespectful.
Odd. You know what's funny? It's related to that, though, because we were just talking about moonshine and stuff. Have you ever seen the show Moonshiners that is, you know, probably 92% totally fake?
I might be Tickle's or Jim Tom's favorite fan. I love Jim Tom.
And Jim Tom's a cool cat. But one episode ago, they were talking about how they use the bone from a raccoon's penis to help the flow of the distilled...
The liquor.
Shit. Yeah. And,
to help
and
the liquor
one of
the
guys
out the tube.
His grandpa used to use that raccoon penis bone to, like, clean his teeth. So that's kind of like a tusk.
Nice.
Raccoon tusk.
You know what? Why don't we invent, like, the toothpick made out of just, why not woolly mammoth tusks? Just, like, custom toothpicks for people.
We can make, let's make a female-only toothpick made out of my penis.
Okay. And I'll be the floss.
Yeah, there you
Fair
go.
Enough.
There you go. And we'll get a van and we'll drive to wherever some chick needs to be, you know, picked and flossed.
You know what? And we'll see if we can't get the government to pay for it under kind of, some kind of pre-dental, like, I don't know, what do they call that? Preventative dental care. By having the Rufus
sure.
Zigzag floss and pick. I get to go first, by the way.
The
Rufus
and Zigzag floss and pick. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure there's a there's a provision in Obamacare, I'm sure, that we can leverage.
I'm sure there's probably not, because unfortunately Obamacare is pretty much run by the regular insurance companies. So it's like basically it was the government's way of getting you to sign up for insurance through the fucking insurance companies. It's the ultimate lobbyist wet dream. And then they don't pay for anything anyway. They just take your money.
This is exactly what I've noticed. It's not like Obamacare has done anything other than make it illegal to not have insurance. It hasn't made it easier.
Pretty much.
It hasn't made it more affordable. It's just like you better
not
have it
really.
Or you're fucked.
Like I'm saying, it's the lobbyist dream, and this is why, Rufus. The insurance company gets all the fucking money. It looks like you're paying less, but you're still paying a lot, and the government pays the other half. I mean, it's not like the insurance company's like, we want to be part of this. You know what I mean? But then they're like,
right. They
figured out a way to make it like completely legit, so they just keep getting richer.
Yeah, well, the American dream, or the American way, not the dream, but it is the way.
I want you to sit down. Are you sitting down, Rufus? You should be sitting down.
I'm
especially
always
when
sitting
you're
down.
Drunk as you are. But I think I talked my mom into voting for Bernie Sanders.
Really?
That is a feat, dude. I was like we had my dad's birthday, right? And I end up in the kitchen with my mom talking about politics because I can't resist, basically. And she's getting all animated. And she starts talking about Hillary is being backed by the super PACs, right? And well,
right. She
did not know that. She's like, I just hate the super PACs. And I said, well, you know, the Republicans, they're in the super PACs. She's like, I know. I hate them all. And then I said, well, Bernie Sanders doesn't use a super PAC. And my mom said, do tell. So I kind of explained to her all about what Bernie pretty much stood for, and I think I opened her eyes. You know what? This is going to sound so weird, dude. I'm actually trying to talk a lot of people into voting for Bernie. I find myself having the Bernie conversation all the time. Even my wife says, God, you talk about Bernie a lot. And, you know, it's like I said before, dude, Bernie is exactly what I thought Hillary was supposed to be. But she's not anymore. You know what I mean? I think 30 years ago, Hillary, when she was idealistic, you know, is one person. But when you get into the grind of that fucking government machine for 25 years, of course you just become part of it. I mean, that's what you know.
And I think that speaks a lot to Bernie Sanders because he's been in that grind and he's still been like, nope, not going to get fucked up. I still believe in what I believe. You know, fuck you guys.
Excellent point, Rufus. You know, and I was watching this thing with his wife. They had his wife on some show. And she was saying that they just kind of started kicking around the idea of Bernie running for president as kind of like a joke.
Uh-huh.
And then they kind of came up with so many reasons why Bernie should run for president. They said, you know what? You almost kind of got to do it because no one else is even going to try to fucking save America. And he's like, really? You're going to make me? And then everybody else is like, you know what, Bernie, you kind of owe it to America. And that's the kind of patriot he is, putting himself out there like that. He didn't need to fucking run for president. He's running for president for the right fucking reason. How long has it been since someone fucking did that?
Man, that is a good point. That is a good point that the dude, I mean, I don't want to get in the guy's head, but it's one thing to run for president because you're a politician and you're like, that's just the next notch on my bedpost.
Exactly.
When you run for president because you feel obligated, like, I've got to do this for the fucking people, that's pretty inspiring.
You know what? That is inspiring. That inspires me. I think after we get off this call, I'm going to drink a half a dozen beers to Bernie. I mean, first... I'm going to have the first dozen right now, and then I'm going to have another half dozen after the show. How awesome is that?
I'm dedicating the first 18 I had before the show to Bernie right now, in retrospect.
Man, why are you always trying to one-up me? You know, you had the drink to Bernie before I did it. You know what? I came up with it first. But you did it first.
Well,
you dedicated yours. I lost. Damn it.
I didn't have the drink to Bernie before. You've inspired me to dedicate my past drinking to Bernie.
That's, you know what? That's saying a lot. That is saying a lot. Did you're talking about like all your past drinking or your past drinking for like the last 2 weeks or the last month or like the last day or like all time past drinking.
Maybe today. If I do all my past drinking, he might get cirrhosis by proxy. So I don't want to endanger him.
Good idea. But you know what? Kind of better him than you, because really, at least if Bernie got the cirrhosis or whatever, it wouldn't be you. So Hyper Sloth would live on to fulfill its destiny. And so, I mean, so what? We'd have Hillary for president or Trump.
Oh, God.
I mean, is that...
Oh, man.
Really? Right now, I'm like, the only person I really don't want to be president is fucking Chris Christie. Am I wrong, or is that guy a fucking cockroach?
I don't know much about the guy. Like I said, I miss every debate.
God.
I know they're coming up, but I miss them. What's the deal with Chris Christie?
Well, here's a guy who says that if you're caught with one pot seed, you should spend fucking a year in jail.
Okay, fuck him.
That's his stance on marijuana, first of all. So that was enough for me. But just look at him sometime and listen to him talk, dude. He's a fucking idiot. He's exactly who the GOP would want for fucking president, but they know that there's just no way that's going to fucking happen. But no one's told him yet.
How in this day and age does he make a statement like, if you get caught with a pot, you'll do a year in jail? How is he even relevant? I mean, that's just, it's like...
You know what? You have to ask yourself. First of all, he's like the Rob Ford of America. You know that crack-smoking fucking mayor?
I am kind of aware of that guy.
Sad. Like, his publicist just had, like, the worst fucking job ever. I think that Chris Christie has, like, the same kind of deal, because he says fucking stupid shit nonstop. And he just says enough stuff. He still thinks he's campaigning to people who died fucking 20 years ago. You know, and
those dead people will vote for him somehow.
Well, that's true. I guess that's how you win the deceased vote, is with nostalgia. I mean,
nostalgia's a big thing. Hey, most voters are old people.
Well, not anymore,
though. Actually old people.
I don't think so anymore. I think that's why they're really finding that Bernie's coming alive, because through social media and shit, they're drawing out a lot of young people. I mean, fuck, dude, when we were kids, not kids, but when I was a teenager, or even, I guess, old enough to vote, however the fuck, what is that, 18? 18, old enough to vote. I guess I was a teenager. I mean, I didn't even know when it was or where it was.
Right.
They love that. You know, the old people are like, don't worry about it. We're voting. We got everything fucking under control. We're old. We know what's good for everybody.
Exactly. What, back then, even in your 20s, I'm sure, I mean, you were busy with college or partying. You didn't read the newspaper. And I don't mean newspaper.
Right.
I just mean like us at that age. So, yeah, the world was under control of just old fucking people, because they were the only people that had the time to read the newspaper and watch TV, and it was so limited.
My idea of being up on the news in my 20s was the Austin Chronicle. It was free. It could tell you
yes.
where the fucking beer specials were. You know what I mean? What more do you fucking need to know? And where you could get a dollar taco. I mean, fuck. That was news. That was all the news that was fit to read at the time.
Man, a dollar taco sounds good.
Sure does, doesn't it? Guero's. Guero's is where you get your dollar tacos. And dollar pitchers there at the very beginning. Wonder if they're even in business anymore.
Probably not. Austin's a fucking corporate cesspool these days.
Probably a Chili's. Probably a fucking TGIF. TGI Guero's. TGIG's.
But it's probably a Chipotle now, so it's closed down so they can get rid of the E. coli.
The dollar pitchers went to fucking $8 single beers.
That's right. Non-alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic, yeah.
Is that like a picture of O'Doul's? Because I hate myself.
A picture of O'Doul's and a couple of Virgin Ritas and a taco with extra Ebola, please. They have booze at Chipotle. I've never been to Chipotle. Have you ever been?
I have been. It's overrated, but it's good. I mean, it's okay. It's not going to blow your mind.
I can't imagine.
But apparently
I mean, really... They're making you a fucking burrito right in front of you. I mean, Taco Bell's pretty fucking good.
Taco Bell is good. I'll tell you what, Chipotle, here's Chipotle. It's the Subway of burritos. I mean, you get at one end, they have everything laid out, and you say, I want this and that and this and that and this and that. But all their stores are closed down right now because I've given food poisoning to everybody from coast to coast.
All of their stores are not closed down. None of their stores are actually closed down.
But maybe not now, but last week they closed down every fucking store because they
one
got
day,
a bad
right?
batch of something that was...
Oh, that's been going on for like 3 months. You know what? You know why I hate Chipotle, though? Because when I was in between jobs and still living in Indiana, they were getting ready to open a Chipotle in South Bend, Indiana. And I just come off a pretty serious stint as a food service director for a couple of old folks' homes. And I went in and I got an interview for the manager's job.
Oh, wow.
Right? But my problem was, I guess I wasn't fast food enough, really, because, you know, they're like, I don't know. First of all, the guy giving me the interview was probably the biggest douchebag I've ever fucking met in my life.
Oh, no.
Imagine some guy who probably just got his BA from Pepperdine or somewhere, right? And But he thinks he's cool and hip, but he's totally not. Does that make sense? Are you familiar with this guy? And he just came across as so obnoxious. Like, what do you do for fun? What do you, you know, where do you see? You know, I was just like, oh, dude. You know, he's like, yeah, you like these bands? Because this is the kind of music we're going to play in this Chipotle and all this shit. I'm like, okay.
No.
You know what? It's a customer experience, Rufus. And we're really trying to dial that in by making sure that, you know, we're attracting the right kind of customer. It was fucking annoying as fuck.
You know what? But, you know what I find annoying? And I don't know if it happens at Chipotle, but it happens at Subway that we mentioned. And it's so obviously scripted and taught that every time I hear it, I just feel sad for the people that have to say it. Right. And that's you. It, as soon as you walk in the door, and the counter could be a football field away, one of those guys or all of them will shout at you, welcome to Subway. And I'm like, come on, you fucking idiots. So you don't want to welcome me. You don't even want to deal with me. Be honest.
You don't even want me here.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, come on. Just make me a sandwich. I'd rather chit-chat with somebody about how their car is fucked up and how, you know, I'd rather them, like, get a bad piece of bread and throw it over their shoulder and be like, this fucking place sucks. I'll give you some extra meat. But
right.
Every time I open the door at Subway and they're like, welcome to Subway. I'm just like, your soul, you have no soul. Your soul has been stolen.
It reminds me of when we worked at Delaware, how I felt like I was weeding out what I considered to be the bad customers by giving them bad food. You're like, yeah, you'll probably never want to come back here and be a pain in my ass because I just burned your fucking cheesesteak. Unfortunately for me, like 9 times out of 10, they'd be like, that was the best fucking cheesesteak I ever had.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, yeah, well, fuck, I left it on there. I had a little bleach water. First of all, I never poisoned anyone's food. I can tell you that for a fact.
It was in your genes, man. You were like the Hendrix of cheesesteaks. Even when you tried to fuck them up, it just made them better.
Right. It sounded good. It was like, it doesn't matter. What would happen was that it was so cosmic, dude, that these people would go home. Right? After I burned up their cheesesteak, bread and all, and they would, like, either probably smoke some weed or some crack or something that made the cheesesteak taste good no matter what. Well, no, you know what it was? They were just big, fat, fucking disgusting slobs. So they didn't really care if it was burned or not. They were going to eat it, and it was going to be delicious.
Even when they woke up in the middle of the night and spent the next 45 minutes on the toilet, they were singing your praises.
They were like, smells the same going in as it does coming out.
It reminds me, the smell of my shit reminds me of that delightful young man at Delaware Subs who prepared my sandwich.
Let's shoot another one tomorrow. You know what? It's after midnight, and while my bowels are evacuating this old cheesesteak, all I can think about is the one we're going to have for lunch tomorrow.
Can you imagine? I bet. Dude, I guarantee you. Okay, here's my theory. You made somebody a cheesesteak sandwich the day before you quit. They came back and you were gone, and they panicked. So they came back with, like, a paper towel of their own shit containing the cheesesteak you made and were like, smell it. Make it like this, like that man
right.
who changed my life.
I bet you're right. I bet they still go back and pray at the door of that Delaware Subs. Number 8, it was. Classic number 8. And they probably have made a small shrine to that disgusting burnt up cheesesteak that I made for them because they annoyed me.
Probably. It's a myth. It's like a legend.
Probably was what they wanted to put on the TV that annoyed me. And so I decided to ruin their meal. That'll teach them.
You know what? That's what food service jobs that you have between being a worthless shithole and getting a real job, that's what that's all about. It's just fucking with other people.
I like to call those the good years. My favorite years.
I do too. Absolutely. The best years of my life are the years between when I was nobody and then when I was not really somebody, but just a little bit better than nobody.
You were somebody, but nobody was paying attention to you.
That's right. I was promoted from nobody to just a little bit better than nobody.
Right. Just like you are in the eyes of the 1% now. Now you're a tax base or a potential consumer.
Now I'm an important demographic, and that fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You are. What are the important demographics in politics, I wonder? I mean, obviously, it's not.
Dudes, white people in our tax bracket, I guess.
So poor people is what you're saying. Mostly poor people.
Yeah. 20 years ago, we'd be rich. Not now.
Yeah, I know. That's sad. And the problem with that is, you know what I read the other day? That the Rothschilds have $500 trillion.
Jesus Christ.
They're so big and so rich, dude, that they're not ever in the news.
What do you do with that? Why do you need it? What?
You don't. I mean, think how it used to be, dude. Like, monarchy is like the most twisted fucking thing, and that's kind of way that America's headed right now. I mean, the oligarchy is the same thing as a monarchy, really, isn't it? Maybe a few more managers here and there.
Right.
Oh, did you see this, dude? There was a school shooting in Canada. I mean, America had to fuck it up for Canada? Really?
I didn't even know they had guns in Canada.
They know. I'm sure they came from America. I mean, I would almost have to guarantee it.
Oh, they're probably migrants. They're refugees from America.
Oh, my God. They probably are. They left because they found out Donald Trump was going to be president. So they've started their own ISIS. It's called USIS. That's United States Citizens Against Something or Other, or whatever. Insert your own joke, people. You're halfway smart, for Christ's sake, aren't you?
Hey, they're listening to us. They're at least two-thirds smart.
I came up with Trump. I mean, come on. I can't do all the heavy lifting. Speaking of heavy lifting, Rufus, you sure if we listen to Fried Eggs and Ham this eve?
I haven't heard that song in so long that I would love to check it out.
Let's get down, babe. This is fucking this one's for the ladies. First of all, is what I would like to say because this is Fridays and Ham, bitch. And check it out. This is Hypersauce foray into the rap game. Put your listening ears on. Yeah, I'm gonna say that every time we play a song, so get used to it. Fridays and Ham, bitch.
Eggs and ham, bitch. I like it. Slap it on a plate with my teeth. I bite it. I suck it in my gut. Metabolize it. Do it like the Donner Party. Cannibalize it. Your fried eggs and ham, bitch. Full of protein. Trying to take my plate. Ha! You see me get me? Snap your neck and leave you in a ditch. Now I'm going back for seconds because I need my fix of fried eggs and ham coming from the farmland where they got the fat beans and the chickens on hand. Take a chicken egg, hold it up to the light. If you see a little chicken side, you know it ain't right for breakfast. Omelette or a quiche, you be chomping chicken bones, chicken feathers and a beak. Your fried eggs and ham, bitch, better than the weed. Might not get you high, but your belly it will feed if you're hungry. eat a hearty meal. Yo, fried eggs and ham, bitch. It's a real deal. Saliva flowing, my stomach knowing, I'm free to be sewing them. Fried eggs and ham, bitch, it does a body good. I be tracking it down everywhere like a member, but I do it for a space style. I'm a breakfast food of file, stacking up the plates like I'm Julia Childs. I eat it on the East Coast, eat it on the West Coast. I have it down south with a biscuit or on toast. Fried eggs and ham, bitch.
Eggs and ham, bitch. I like it.
Bitch.
You like it, Rufus?
I actually don't like fried eggs. I like scrambled eggs. But scrambled
really?
Eggs and ham is kind of hard to fit in, yeah.
How come you don't like fried eggs?
The yolk. The yolk, the runny yolk.
Really?
It turns me off.
Really? What about it turns you off that it is a small chicken's embryo?
No, actually it's not a small chicken's embryo because most eggs you get aren't fertilized. It's just the gooeyness. I can't do it. Prefer the scrambled or the omelet. Man, I'm an omelet guy. But omelet.
Are you? You know what? You've always come across as an omelet guy. You know, in all the years that we lived together and knew each other, I don't think we ever had breakfast once together.
Well, of course not. We weren't conscious for breakfast. Not a while.
Dude, let's make a pact right now never to eat fucking breakfast together. And even if we're sitting at the same table together at breakfast time, we cannot order breakfast foods.
Absolutely. Let's do that. We'll make a pact right now. I'll do a pinky swear with you, a virtual pinky swear.
How about a microphone shake swear? I'm shaking my microphone, Rufus.
Shaking my mic, too. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's shaking. So no breakfast shall be had betwixt us.
Hey, dude, can you believe this was a thing on the TV the other day or on the news? That some guy that was held hostage in Iran, this is a fucking news story, I should not. He was held hostage so long in Iran that he didn't know what a selfie was.
What? How the fuck long was he in Iran?
That was the news. Well, he was held hostage, I guess. So and as soon as he found out what a selfie was, he decided he wanted to go back and be re-imprisoned in Iran.
I was going to say, that's the best part about being in prison in Iran is not knowing what the fuck stealthy is. Boy, that's just such a blight on fucking human evolution and society, I think. It's just disgusting. Hang on, let me take a picture of myself saying that.
Oh, yeah, please do. Oh, that's you. Dude, your lips. Come on.
I'm really going to. Just because I said
like
it.
Your lips like you're sucking a dick, for Christ's sake. Do you want people to like your picture or not?
It'll be hipster ironic if I actually take a picture of myself doing it, so I'm going to do it.
Can you do it, dude? But this shows, like, the very bottom of your nipples. Can you do that, please?
I'm wearing too many layers to break out my nipple. I mean, I know I have long, pointy nipples, but I'm wearing flannel.
All right, get a picture of you where in the mirror behind you, you can see the toilet and there's a turd in it. Can you do that? Can you set that picture up for us?
There's always a turd in my – I don't floss to save water, so we have turds piled up. I sit down and I feel a turd on my ass before I push one out.
That's comforting to know. And now, you know what? For people that are getting angry about that, Rufus takes composting extremely seriously. He always has. So much so.
It's compacting.
He poops into a bucket that is underneath the toilet, underneath his house.
That's right.
Brilliant.
What I do is I poop into a bucket, and then I ask my neighbors if I can dump it into their toilet.
Sounds like something my neighbors would do.
My neighbors love me.
Here, you know what, dude? I had an idea. You know what? If you ever used MapQuest, I know it not MapQuest is not a thing. I'm going to just go ahead and say Google Maps, all right? Say you're using a Google Maps app on your phone, right? Why don't they have, like, a triangular directions thing? Does this make sense? Where, say I'm driving from here in Colorado Springs to Denver and then to Boulder, then back to my original place, I guess, which would be Colorado Springs. Why can't you, like, do all of those legs on one trip? So it shows you to go to here, and then from there to there, and then there, the shortest route home. Is that possible, do you know?
Not to my knowledge. And you know what? When we went back to Texas for the holidays, I wondered that myself, because there's so many places, like, I wanted to plot out certain restaurants to eat at. Like, there's no Taco Cabanas in Arkansas. That's one thing I know about Texas. But I couldn't, like, pick out a Taco Cabana and just add that to my trip, like, in between. It's either you go from A to B. There's no, like,
taking
from A to B with some stops in between. You can't do it.
Yeah, or A to B to the shortest back to A. Which, from A to B to C to the shortest trip back to A is what I wanted.
Right, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's lacking. It's one way. It's only one way. I don't like it.
Yeah, stupid. Very poorly thought out. Speaking of which, I do have a new phone number for 420 Products USA. It has its own phone number now. So if the people want to call 420 Products USA and find out more about the Bud Buddy Cannabis Containment System, call us at 269-340-1166. That's 269-340-1166. Call us
269-340-1166. I'll update on the website that's not accessible to anyone.
Okay, good idea. But now we have a phone number. We're getting baby steps, Rufus. Soon, tomorrow, I have an inspection on a building. We will have a legitimate headquarters.
Well, I thought didn't you just buy, like, a big-ass warehouse with an office and, like, some crazy, weird shit somebody left there?
But this warehouse will be in a place where it's legal to possess and take pictures of and put on your Facebook and all that stuff, the evil plant that people call marijuana.
Oh.
So I won't feel like any second someone's going to kick the fucking door in and take me away in handcuffs.
So it's just implied paraphernalia without any actual product is still a bad thing in this country?
Oh, yeah. Paraphernalia can get you time no matter what. Sure. I mean, it would have to have resin or something in it, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're marketing marijuana products, you have to have marijuana. You have to possess marijuana. You really can't do it without doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true. That does make sense.
And you know what? Now that your phone is pretty much tracking you every fucking second of the day, there is no such thing as privacy. I mean, have you ever tried to turn off the location tracking on your phone?
I don't even know how to go about doing that at all.
Right. Dude, and let me tell you, when you do try to do it, it's going to take you a fucking hour. And you're going to go, huh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why they bury it so fucking deep purposely. To make sure that they know where you are. Like I said before, people think that Edward Snowden should be, like,
hung up and or what, drawn and quartered?
Bullshit. He
is kind of a hero. No one else would fucking have done that.
I wouldn't have done it. Would you?
I like to think I would, but no, I wouldn't have. I don't have
right.
the balls.
I mean,
but
he might have just been stupid enough to fucking do it.
I mean, I like to think that
would do it.
I think in the currency of the future, in a better future, that Snowden will have his face on the dollar or whatever. I think in retrospect, people are going to realize, oh, wow, you know, yeah, that we should have paid more attention to that shit and not demonize him for actually trying to wake us up.
You know, just the whole idea that Trump, I'm not trying to be political. Yes, I am. The Trump is running on his platform of basically less anonymity for people and, like, harsher. How much more can they track of what you do? Honest to God.
They've got it all tracked. Hey.
Right.
Speaking of Trump, you heard that Sarah Palin is now, like, on the bandwagon endorsing Trump, right?
Yeah, and the same day that she did, her son Tripp got fucking put in jail for domestic violence. And she blamed it on post-traumatic stress disorder.
She blamed it on Obama.
Yeah, I know.
She blamed it on PTSD or whatever it's called, but she's like incited Obama's name for it. Are you fucking serious? Come on. How many people have been in war and not beat their fucking wives? Lots of them.
My question to you is, can't Trump, if someone calls up and says, you know what, I want to support you, I want to put my name out there for you, is there a spot where you can go, you know what, nah, I don't think it's a good fit? I mean, or do you just have to accept someone, like, putting their name out there for you or putting their support behind you? Because I would have had to say no thanks to her.
Yeah, but you're not Trump. I think Trump and her kind of go hand in hand. They're both just fucking out of this fucking world.
I mean, who is still following her? But then you're right. The people who would follow Trump, basically. Your reality TV
exactly.
people.
Exactly. That's yeah, exactly. The reality TV people. Wow. Wow. That's a good point.
That, you know what? There's your demographic. That's probably the single strongest fucking demographic in America. Is the reality TV crowd.
I'm glad you brought up the demographic because, you know, everybody's all concerned about, like, having to produce an ID to vote because it discriminates against people that can't afford it. They only need to ask one question when you go to vote. Do you watch reality TV? And if the answer is yes, you don't get to vote.
You know what? And that was what I was trying to explain to my mom. I mean, how many people are unqualified to vote because they have felonies? And because my mom, she doesn't really want big business in politics either, but she obviously she thinks it's inevitable because it has been for so long. And she was
sure.
telling me that she used to be a Democrat. And you know what? You know what freaked my mom out about Bernie Sanders?
What's that?
Guess. What
oh God,
freak
I
out
God,
any person in their late 60s, early 70s about him being a socialist? She can't get past the fucking word socialist. And sometimes I wish Bernie would just take that off there. Do you think he knows he should just take that down?
Yeah, I get. Yeah, you're right. I mean, for branding and marketing purposes, for sure, absolutely for sure. But socialism—the problem with socialism is nobody knows what it really means, and it's kind of been demonized.
Right.
It's not,
exactly.
not communism. It's not Nazism. It's
no. It's
you get
what?
To do what you want to do and make the money you want to make, but everybody gets a fair shot. It's what capitalism
yeah.
claims to be, but. Obviously is not.
It's early 1900s. Socialism was pretty big in America, actually. Like 25% of people were socialists in America. And that's when, like, America was kind of hitting its stride. But then what happened was McCarthy and those guys took over, and they wanted to bust up the – it's a crazy story, dude. They wanted to bust up the labor unions that were in the movie theaters. The movie theaters had so much money – that they forced them to, like, put these guys on trial. And that's why they had all those, like, socialist witch hunts in Hollywood in the 50s and shit. And it was
Damn.
To scare people away from being socialists. And then they started making movies. They made the socialists into the bad people. right? And that's how they broke up the fucking early unions. It's an insane fucking story. If you ever get a chance, there's some show about it that I watched on Netflix, and I'm like, that's fucking insane that that's how they did that.
There's no hope with Bernie. No, I mean, honestly, and I don't mean to paint Bernie as some sort of Jesus figure. It's more like if the people don't vote for Bernie, it's not Bernie's fault. It's the people's fault. I mean, we're too fucking far gone to be saved. Whatever happens to us, we fucking deserve it as a whole.
You know what? That's sad. Why do we perfectly good people have to go down with idiots that can't vote the right way? Not that your particular vote counts or doesn't count, because it doesn't count. Am I correct in my assumption there, right? I mean,
here's the problem. People like us that like, believe in Bernie Sanders and believe that, like, humanity is something that should be cultivated and rewarded just for existing, we've been fucking shot down and fucking not gotten what we think's best for humanity for so fucking long that we've lost
the
will.
There's no hope.
But everybody else has gotten the douchebag or the idiot, Republican or otherwise. So they're going to go out and vote because apparently their votes fucking work and ours don't. But
no,
I think that's
like that.
But I think that's shifting. And I think social media and the internet. I mean, Bernie Sanders is blowing up, and that's insane, dude. Bernie Sanders would not blow up in the 90s or the 80s or even like the early half of the 2000s. I mean, there's a shift in something happening. Thank fucking God.
I think it's – I don't want to say this because I don't want to jinx it, but I think it's the marijuana is getting stronger, is making people smarter. I just want to put that out there.
Okay. That might be part of it. I think marijuana has a lot to do with it, but I think it's more about education and access to information, and people are like, oh, really? It's not that bad? Oh, look. Here's a medical study that I never would have read about. It's not for the internet, you know. And now it's in my email inbox because somebody sent it to me. It's just the proliferation of information is people are finally able to get information and tip the scales in their own favor. Yes,
that's exactly right. I mean, you know what? It's not the top 1% can't control. I mean, they can control what's online to an extent, but not like they can shit that's in print or, you know, in on the TV and shit. So, yeah, it's definitely – and I'll tell you what, the idea that Bernie won't take money from fucking big corporations to me says he's the right guy for the fucking job. And if you can't see that, you're a fucking idiot.
I think that is super fucking important, dude. I mean, he could not open his mouth about any other issue – but if he just said, I'm not taking corporate money, he's got my vote, period. I don't care what he believes in. The fact that he's not going to be influenced by a corporation, I'm good, because he can be, you know, negotiated with. At that point, you can talk to him and reason with him. He's not like, well, my pockets are fat, so I have to do what these guys tell me. That's
Citizens United thing is the fucking most fucked up thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you're familiar with Citizens United, right?
Thanks to you, because you told me that a Koch Brothers doc and some other links to check out. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that whole idea that they made it so big corporations can be considered private entities to give money to politicians, I mean, that in its fucking core is disgusting that could ever happen. Third grader on the Supreme Court could have made a better fucking decision than the Supreme Court justices. I mean, that just shows you how sway there, because, right, didn't the Koch brothers, like, throw some kind of huge fundraiser for Clarence Thomas's wife when she was getting into Tea Party politics?
Yeah.
She had, like, a $500,000 fundraiser.
Exactly.
I mean, what the fuck? That's on the front page of the paper, and people are standing for that? I don't get it. I'm tired.
I don't get it either.
I'm tired, Rufus. I'm so tired.
You
on
know
that
what,
note,
what's,
though, I would
you
like
know
to listen
even more
to your
disturbing?
Tonight. No, I don't. Tell me.
what's more disturbing is I do get it. I mean, when you see
right.
it laid out.
Yeah.
When you see it laid out, you can be like, oh, yeah, that's how it happened. And it just makes you
right.
even more sick. If it was a mystery, that'd be one thing. But you can, it's laid out for everyone to see, and still nobody gives a fucking shit.
See, but the problem is it's got to be laid out by some guy doing some kind of subversive documentary, because the regular fucking paper won't give you the whole story beginning
exactly.
to end. Instead, they'll
you're
report
right.
parts of it over like weeks and months, and you're like, oh, I don't even remember what the fuck that was about. You know what I mean? Some
yeah,
other guy put his
out.
Dick in some other dude now.
They'll stretch it out piecemeal until people lose interest. And again, that's because those media outlets are owned by
right.
you.
That's exactly right. Oh, my God. Thank God for the Hypersloth Happy Hour. That's a, you know what? Hypersloth Happy Hour and free speech, baby. Fucking that's how we roll.
That's right.
Fuck the Cook Brothers. Fuck the Cook Back Brothers. Em. Fuck the Cook Brothers. Fuck the Cook Brothers. Let's take it to the street, Rufus.
Take it to the street. I'm ready to. Tomorrow. After by
tomorrow.
Noon.
I want you to go downtown, your little town of Arkansas, with a fucking sign that says, fuck the Cook Brothers.
They, nobody would even
like,
know who they are.
No,
even
before you know it, there might
them.
Be two fucking toothless dudes in a pickup truck will show up with some shotguns and go, what you got against us? We're the Cook Brothers. And try to get your ass
whipped.
Probably
some local guys who misunderstand
right.
me and then lynch me.
We should do a fucking bit like that where it's like a bunch of fucking people are protesting the Cook Brothers in front of their head office, and like all the other Cook Brothers show up to like kick their asses.
And they're all inbred.
Of course they are. They're Cook Brothers. Like those guys aren't inbred. I saw this other thing, dude, where the Cook Brothers, it was about doormen. It was about a famous building where 30 of the richest people in America live in this fucking building, right? It's called 800 Roosevelt Avenue, I think it's called. It's in New York City, of course. The cheapest place in there is $25 million.
Jeez,
that's like for the
Christ
cheapest fucking apartment. And the Cook brothers, both the Cook brothers live in there and a bunch of other super fucking rich people. And the guy, the doorman, was just saying like they were all fucking so rude and so cheap because they something they in this show they proved that entitlement is kind of a disease that
uh-huh.
kind of progresses over time. An incidental illness, basically, is how they it kind of wrapped up. But this guy's
I
like, you know what?
That.
Here, the richest people in the world will give you like a $10 fucking tip after you like
right.
load their car for the Hamptons, and it takes you like 2.5 hours.
I believe that. I do believe that's a mental disorder at that point.
I do. I agree with that 100%. I would agree. And you know, I think that history kind of proves that in a weird way. If you go back like the old English kings and queens and whatnot, I mean, the inbreeding, because they were the only clean people, so they only wanted to have sex with each other, was
yeah.
I think that it kind of makes mental illness, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like made a copy of a copy on a Xerox machine.
Oh my God, you're right. I never thought of it that way, but you're right, it is. You're definitely, and you're like talking a dot matrix copy of a copy.
Exactly.
When you get into some of that stuff, wouldn't you
oh,
agree
yeah.
with that?
Absolutely.
So we're going to take it into the VIP?
Yeah, I'll do it for a little bit. My bladder is pushing up against the my Adam's apple.
All right. Well, I'll see you folks in the VIP. Rufus, I'll check you in the VIP, sir. Why don't you get yourself a nice cocktail? Welcome. Welcome to the VIP part of the show.
Welcome.
Lights are low.
VIP.
Lights are low in the VIP.
Lights
are
low
on
the
other
soft.
Side, the Velvet Elvis of radio shows. That's what we're doing right now. The Purple Velvet Elvis. You know, when I was a kid, my cousin had like some black, I don't know, what did they call them? I guess they were, you put a black light on them and they look really cool, like a black light poster. You ever see any of those?
Yeah.
Like you'd get at Spencer's?
Oh, yeah, I used to have a couple.
What do they call those?
I think they just call them blacklight posters, right?
Yeah, that sounds too racist.
Oh, sorry.
I think
they
should call them purple light posters.
Exactly.
But thinking
that's
back
right.
Now, I realize that when I know my cousin was a big doper back then, like a big stoner, but of course I didn't know it when I was like 10 years old. But then when I turned 19, I realized that he was pretty much a drug addict. I'm not really a drug addict, just a big pot smoker. I was just joking. And an alcoholic. So I looked up to him for many years. And sometimes down at
him, he emulated him
quite
well.
In his own vomit. Nothing like looking down on the people you look up to, Rufus. That's what I always say.
Wow, that's worthy of a bumper sticker.
Did you ever wonder what you would put on your epitaph? Did you get that email I sent you about what I was going to put on my epitaph? It was shut up and get me another beer.
No, I did not see that, actually, but that's a good one.
Then I thought the other day I would put on there, my insurance sucked.
I'm not going to have an epitaph. I'm going to get cremated, man. There's not going to be an epitaph for me.
But, all right. Well, you know what? Then they should put it in the byline when they put your little write-up in the newspaper. What do you want your byline to say? And it can't be shut up and get me a beer because I already have that one.
My obituary is going to say, I don't know. I have no idea. I have thought about this. I've even thought about, like, writing a note, like a big letter.
Right.
And keeping it in my wallet in case I get killed in an auto accident or something that just lays out everything I want to have happen. Okay, I want to be cremated, boom. At my funeral, no fucking crying. We're going to show episodes of Mr. Showbomb David. We're going to play some Van Halen. Then there's going to be a big-ass cake, a pizza party. And then after that, I don't give a fuck what you people do, but you know, don't leave sober. And that'll be it.
You know what, then? If you go before me, you know what I want your epitaph to say?
What's that?
Shut up and get Zigzag a beer. You can use that one.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Very good. I'll have a quarter. I'll tell you what, I'll have a silver dollar in my pocket. So when I get cremated, that will survive, and I want that silver dollar to buy you a beer.
Ooh, I like that thought. You know what we should do? Let's invent this, dude. Let's invent the talking headstone. Where if someone comes up, they can, like, push a button and you can have your recording right there. And they can say,
oh, no.
Like, shut up and get a big bag of beer. Or, hey, watch out for Chuck.
No, here's what we'll do. We'll etch a QR code on it, and then you scan it, and it tells you how that headstone is better than the competition.
Oh, my. You know what? Why don't we do a QR code on a headstone that takes you to the person's Facebook page so people can stay socially relevant after they die?
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good idea,
actually.
Or
like a recording of themselves. Joe Schmo liked mowing his yard. He also liked his neighbor's wife, and now he's dead because of that.
He was murdered by his neighbor's husband.
Oh my! You know what? We should like start a company that does nothing but like an obituary, but like a news story where we like follow up to find out what they have and be like, it's a hospital, like interviewing the nurses and stuff, and then sell that to the grieving family.
Holy shit. Have you ever seen these reaction videos? Have you ever seen a reaction video?
I have not. Not that I'm aware of.
They're pretty entertaining. It's a lot of them are with movie trailers, so like people will watch a movie trailer and film their reaction to seeing it for the first time, or sometimes it's a reaction like showing your grandma a video of a terrible porn scene. And so it's
right.
Amusing. We should film reaction videos of people who don't know you're dead, and then they just get the news. And then we make a whole fucking channel that's just like people hearing that their loved ones have died for the first time.
Oh, my God. That would go viral. If a heart attack can go viral, that can go viral.
This is true.
Let me tell you what shouldn't have went viral, Rufus, was that I saw this foodie person took a picture of a fucking bowl of cereal and posted it.
What? Who?
I mean,
what?
A fucking bowl of cereal. Dude, what culinary fucking genius can't take? Look at me. I made the world's most awesome fucking bowl of cereal.
Who did this?
I don't know. I saw it on someone's Facebook page, and it fucking angered my blood.
It should have. It should anger your blood.
And you know what else happened to me? Guess what they tried to do to me at Walmart again?
What?
I was waiting in line for salami to have my salami cut, right? And you know what?
Yes.
This is the first thing I want to say, is that there's a place in North Carolina, okay? It's a Food Lion. It's a store. It's a supermarket chain. And guess what they do? They're the smartest fucking deli in the world because you write down what you want sliced, and you give them a piece of paper, then you go do your shopping, and when you come back, your shit is fucking sliced and waiting for you.
That is
fucking
brilliant.
Is that not the thing you've ever heard in your life? Why wouldn't every place do it like that? I mean, it only makes sense to me. I always wondered why don't places do it like that.
They should have an app. Like, before you even get there, you just, like, type it in, and then you got it on the way out.
They should. You're right. But so now, all right, I'm waiting for this salami. I'm not even waiting for it. I'm waiting to order it. And at least four employees just walk right by me. Right? You know how that goes. They're like acting like they're looking at something behind them, like on the other side of the wall, like I'm not standing there. So then the lady comes over and reluctantly takes my order. Right? What do you want? And I said, I want a pound of the Genoa salami. Okay, a pound of the Genoa salami. She repeats back to me. And I said, yes. And she goes, you know, we have that in the case already sliced. Did you want it sliced another way? And guess what I said? I said, I want fucking Genoa salami, you dumb bitch, because that's hard salami in the fucking case. And you fucking tried to pull that on me like 20 goddamn times.
Good for you, man.
Dude, it's like every time I want fucking Genoa salami, they're like just so fucking lazy, they just can't cut it for me, Rufus. And then when they do cut it, they want to cut it in like these huge fucking slices that are super heavy, so they only got to like go back and forth like three fucking times. And like, here's your pound in three giant fucking pieces of salami.
Three giant pieces of salami. It's fucking insane.
Fucking retarded idiot.
Honestly, I gotta say that I would like to bite into a sandwich-sized piece of salami. It's like 3 inches thick. I would eat that.
But I have. I have done that. Because when I was a kid, my parents used to get salami, and my grandparents, when my grandpa was like in his early 40s, he owned a deli, like a butcher shop. Right, so even when he got older and stuff, he had connections. People make salami and stuff like that. So he used to just get like whole salamis, and we'd have to cut them with a knife. And you know, when you're like 12 years old, you just like cut yourself a big old fat fucking nub of salami and gnaw on it like a cock. You know, you're like, oh, it's good enough for me.
Man, I'll tell you what, my grandpa and my dad. I don't know how to do this yet. I feel kind of ashamed. But every year, they were hunters, so they'd get a deer, and they did every fucking thing you could possibly do with a deer. And one thing they did was they would make deer sausage, and it was a dried summer sausage, salami-type sausage, right?
Right. I just had some of that.
We always had it on the counter, and it was just sitting out because, it's cured. It's not going to go bad. And I would just pick that thing up and eat it like a popsicle. Man,
like
it was
a
fucking
popsicle.
Good.
And heart smart, too. Don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah.
Always
heart
smart.
My heart doesn't know what's good for it. I do.
That's right. You know what? Someone's got to be a boss of that heart. That heart doesn't know what the fuck it's talking about.
Hey, man, I control the brain. The brain's bigger than the heart.
That's right. And the ego is better than the fucking brain. God damn it.
This is true.
fucking brain. Always rational thought getting in the way of fucking creative thought. Not, I don't stand for it.
That's why I drink so much beer, just to stop that stupid rational brain bullshit.
You know what? I agree with that. I can agree with that. Unfortunately, pot, as insane as it sounds and people don't think so, pot makes you 10 times more fucking rational than just your normal thought. But people turn, they'd rather call it paranoia. Not paranoia,
no.
It's fucking rational thought.
But the problem is it's hyper-rational. It's a rationality that's not, it doesn't fit into the way the world's built right now. It's like, I don't know, it's too rational for the rest of the fucking world. I mean,
exactly.
I think in the future, you know what I'm saying, right?
I mean, I know what you're saying.
You almost feel bad,
like
after you smoke some weed and stuff, and you have all these insights, and you're like, shit, people never amount to anything, and it's not my fault, it's just that people aren't there yet. Damn.
Exactly, dude. I think that Bernie Sanders has been feeling that way for fucking 100 years, or 40 years or so, probably.
And that's why he has sold out.
Yep, because he's still smoking weed, I bet. You think?
I bet he is.
I mean, I have to assume. I like to think everybody that smokes weed is smarter than regular people. And that means that people that are smarter than regular people are obviously smoking weed.
Yes, it just means to me that 90% of people are fucking dumb. 99.8% of people.
90%. You're a funny kid. You're a funny kid, Rufus.
That's being generous. I don't want to be mean.
You know, what? And you've always been like that. You've been a man of the people. You know what? My mom said to me, she said, you should run for office. Because I guess I was talking so much politics or whatever, and I'm like, nah, too tired.
But you know what's funny is I bet that's a platform that would probably resonate with people.
Oh,
like if you had a debate coming up, you're like, no, not today. I'm not, no, let's do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. I'm fucking tired.
I'm running on
that's
the too tired
that's
platform.
That's
you
most
put
citizens,
off everything
yeah.
Till tomorrow.
It's the I'm too tired to fuck with shit platform.
I like to do, my platform would be the I'm too tired, let's drink on it platform. Let's drink it over.
They should hold all debates in like one of those bar trivia games. That's how they should do it. Like one of those bar trivia game sessions. They just put the question
awesome.
Up on a screen, and everybody's got to, like, chug a pint of beer and then type in their answer.
Yeah, I mean, forget about the debate. Let's have a fucking contest. You know what I mean? That's how you should win. Like, if you wait and, like, go 18 seconds, the points, don't the points just continually go down in those games until, like, there's only one answer left and, like, they let even the stupid people get, like, the answer right? By, like, taking away the other answers as the time goes down. So that's kind of how politics works, isn't it?
Wow. That's a good idea. So they don't get to pose their own answers. It's like the questions posed. All the answers are from what all the people in the crowd wanted to hear them say. And whichever politicians agree with the most answers, I don't know, that might not work.
No, I don't see why that wouldn't work. That makes them the qualified candidate, right? Because they're in tune with the people, what the people want, what the people want to hear.
Right. Or
get
what
right
you do, I don't know. So you have all the official candidates, and then you get some random fucking guy. I guarantee you get some random guy up there.
Oh, my God.
And he'll probably get everything right.
Well, yeah, because a regular person knows what is important to them. A person in fucking politics has no clue about what a regular Joe experiences in the fucking course of a day.
No. Absolutely not.
And at the end, can, like, celebrities cook their last meals for them, please?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
We should just have the celebrities. Oh, they already have a celebrity cooking channel. Whoops. Would have been a great idea.
Well, the angle is cooking a last meal, right? I'm pretty sure that's not been done.
I would love to see someone cook Donald Trump his last meal. Did you see Donnie Trump holding the fucking tail of some elephant that he had just shot, and he cut off the fucking tail?
I did, and on Reddit, somebody posted that and said, okay, let's do a Photoshop challenge. And then all these thousands of people Photoshopped it, and they were like, one of the Photoshops was they Photoshopped the knife, like, stabbing his genital area, and he was holding his own dick. Another one was they removed his head and put a douchebag there that was spraying water all over the place. It was pretty good.
I wish I'd have known about that. I would love to be part of that challenge.
I'll see the Lakers
Why does a guy like that ever get stampeded? I would love to see that guy getting eaten by a cheetah or something. It would be fitting for a fucking cocksucker that hunts animals in some preserve area to make them feel like they got a fucking nuts.
Well, first of all, he's not even hunting. I mean, do you think he's like out there stalking an animal in a tent for days? He's on a fucking 4x4 or a truck. It was probably like a crane, like you see people fixing transformers on telephone poles with, and he's surveying the land and just shoots one. He's not hunting, hardly.
They put it out in a fenced-in area, and he goes over and he fucking shoots it.
Yeah,
they don't
you're right. There's probably some Nambian fucking zookeeper that takes it out on a leash.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Give him one bullet.
So he can take that fucking picture. So he can take one fucking picture of himself with a dead fucking elephant. Too bad that dead elephant isn't his dad. Get it? Because he's a GOP. He will be someday.
That's a good
comic. You like that one?
I do.
There's your fucking comic right there. Donnie holding the dead Donald's fucking pelt in the air. What is like his last little wisp of hair, because you know that he wears a fucking wig. Like in his hand,
yeah,
while Dad lays on the ground like a giant dead elephant.
I think Donald Trump's wig is made out of the hairs from an elephant's tail. Maybe that's what he was doing.
I think you're right. And Donnie was just stockpiling his for a later date when he's going to need his own faux hair piece made of elephant hair. Poor Donnie. He's so misguided.
Yeah, well, he gets attacked by elephants a lot, apparently.
I hope so. Yeah, exactly. How do you sleep at night knowing that you could be attacked by a fucking giant elephant in your high rise at any minute?
It's a rough life. It's a rough life.
What's your take on gun control? Because, you know, they flip-flopped this whole thing on Bernie because Bernie wasn't going to hold the manufacturers responsible for what people would do with guns. Well, I mean, that makes sense, right? You can't – they're not holding people responsible for what people do with toasters or microwave ovens.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, people make guns. The people who make guns shouldn't be held responsible for anything. It's up to the government to regulate who can get them and how. I mean, we have to get a license to drive a fucking car, right? I mean
– right.
I mean, I think guns should be a thing that people should have, but – you've got to be able to prove yourself competent.
Well, I mean, you know what, though? You don't need a fucking M16 to go and fucking shoot a deer. You know what? I'm all about – I want people to have guns. I'm not against gun control. I'm just saying, you know, certain kinds of guns aren't necessary to be in people's hands. I have a friend who's a fucking gun nut, and he's probably the most fucking mentally unstable of the people I know. And I think that just this kind of a mental instability brings people somehow together with guns.
No, I agree. I mean, you should be able to get guns to hunt. If you want to hunt, that's your thing. Or even for sport, just target shooting. Or protection or handguns, too. But, yeah, you don't need a fucking semi-automatic M16 or whatever. There's no fucking need for that. Unless, I mean, maybe there's some special circumstance in your job or whatever, but...
you give me one person's job who needs that.
I don't know if you're a bodyguard for some big-ass, big-time celebrity. I mean, if you're part of an independent security company, maybe. But just an independent, just a guy, like, I should not be able to get an M16. There's no fucking need for me to have one. Other than I've got a small dick. but you know, if my job is to protect some
ailment,
something. I mean, I don't know. But I'm saying that the restrictions should be a lot more rigorous than they are.
No doubt. Well, and you know, people are like, well, the bad people already have guns, blah, blah, blah. Well, we need less guns. That's the problem. That people steal guns, and then they're like, what do you do with it? You sell to some bad guy that wants a gun. That's just because there's an overabundance of fucking guns.
Right.
You know, they just fall through the cracks. They're just like, oh, it's just fucking a gun. Let's go out. I'll just go out and buy another one with my insurance money.
They just recently, like, you could go to a gun show. Like, if you bought a gun somewhere else, you'd have to do a background check. But if you went to a gun show, you could just get it. But I think, aren't they passing now legislation where even if you're at a gun show, you still have to do the paperwork and wait 5 days and all that stuff? I mean, at least that's something. It seems crazy
you
go
what?
To a gun show and just be like, yeah, I'll take an AR-15. All right, here you go. See ya.
Well, here's the crazy thing, dude. My friend's dad was a gun dealer, and he sold a guy a gun at a gun show within the parameters of the law, okay? He followed the letters of the law completely, and the guy killed somebody with the gun, okay? He killed a cop. Hmm. He actually killed a cop with this gun.
Jeez.
And they put the guy that sold him the gun in jail.
That's fucked up.
Even though he followed the law, they decided to put him in jail anyways. He was like 70 years old and did like 3 years in jail.
That is fucking insane. The law should have been more. He shouldn't have been able to sell the guy the gun. It's not that
deep. Right,
you're
right. Right, he's just trying to do business like everybody else at the show was doing business. Could have been anybody there. You know what I mean? If he didn't buy the gun from this guy, he was going to buy the gun from somebody else. You don't know what somebody's going to do with a gun when you sell it to him.
Right, and even with those added regulations, like if you make it hard as fuck to buy a gun, like super fucking hard, you can still have gun shows because people want to get their hands on what they're buying. You don't buy a car without test driving it, right?
Right.
But you could still be like, okay, it's going to be a 21-day fucking vetting of your psychology and all this bullshit
you
before you get it.
You have to take a Rorschach test at the gun range.
And everything they show me is like, that looks like a gun.
That looks like someone's brain splattered on the wall. That looks like my neighbor with a bullet hole in his face.
That looks like that girl who wouldn't go out with me in high school 28 years ago.
That looks like those people that work with me that laugh at my penis.
That one looks a lot like you.
But dude, you know what? I bought a gun not that long ago. I've never even shot it, okay? I bought a gun like 2 years ago. I've never even shot it. And I think about going to the shooting range to shoot it. First of all, I'm too much of a wimp and don't know enough about guns, and I hate going into places like that where everybody's like, yeah, yeah, gun, yeah, gun. You know, I don't get off on that. But that like 2 years ago, that guy went into a gun place and was testing out a gun and shot other people that were there.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to be in a separate room from a bunch of other people with guns. I don't want to be shooting next to someone that's holding a gun. I mean, am I wrong to assume that? I mean, that's not wrong to ask, is it?
No, that's not wrong at all. I've been thinking about getting a gun for a while, but I need training. I'm not a stupid fucking idiot. I'm not just going to be like, oh, it's not like getting a smartphone and figuring it out yourself. I want somebody to show me how to do it and to do it right because I'm a clumsy motherfucker.
Right.
And
guns are fucking
careless.
Dangerous.
But I would go to my dad or my brother and be like, show me this. Because you're right. You go to some populated place, some big gun shooting place, because of the regulations that aren't in place, there could be some other fucking idiot who's not even malicious.
Right.
But he's not been trained, and he's like trying to load it, and he shoots. Dude, I may have mentioned this before. I used to work at a pawn shop, you know that. And we sold guns. And I remember when I was training, this guy came in to buy a gun. And one of the sales associate, the guy that was training me, he was showing him this gun. He showed him another gun. And this other gun had a scope on it. And the guy he was just demonstrating it, and so he like shouldered it and like scoped it in, and the guy didn't end up buying anything. We found out later that the gun that the sales associate scoped in, he told me, yeah, scoped it in on the guy's head just so I could see what's going on. A guy's head across the street, and it turns out there was a bullet in the fucking chamber of that fucking rifle that nobody saw. I mean, he could have, if his finger twitched, he would have killed the guy.
Dude, you know what? I mean, it's funny that you say that, because when I was a kid, we found the gun underneath my uncle's seat of his truck, right? He was a big gun guy, probably not the most stable guy in the world. And I was like 7 years old and holding it and like pointing it at my sister and shit.
Oh,
and I remember
God.
That. I remember that. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't even really know why I didn't pull the fucking trigger. Rufus, I don't. I mean, as a kid, I had no idea what would fucking happen.
That is fucking insane. That's happened. Thank God it wasn't a hair trigger, right?
Right. I mean, seriously, I was fucking holding this gun, pointing it at the cat. I pointed it at my sister. You know, we're just playing around in the cars as kids. Well, you really got to watch out with fucking guns. And, you know, they're all saying that Bernie Sanders is against guns or whatever. Well, really what Bernie Sanders wanted was if you buy a gun, it has to come with a lock. Fair enough rule, right. Don't you think?
There are so many more restrictions on less lethal things. I think it's kind of dumb. It's dumb and naive, and I don't know. It bothers me that gun people just are like, it's a free-for-all. It's not black and white. It's like either we don't have guns or we get all the fucking guns we want, no matter who we are or what we think, we just get some fucking guns. And I'm like, no. I mean,
I would be interested to hear your dad's thoughts on the open carry in Texas. Have you ever discussed that with your dad? I mean, your dad's a hunting guy, kind of an outdoorsman. I wonder what his take is on the open carry.
He's
there for Christmas with your dad holstered up and like walking around with a piece on his leg or not?
Oh no, he's a hunter. I mean, he doesn't break out a gun unless it's hunting season. He's not like sitting around stroking his guns. Guns never come up in conversation with any of my family. They're tools. I mean, that's one thing my dad we had guns all over the fucking house. We had a gun rack in the living room. It had five guns on it. My dad had like two guns in the living room. I mean, in his bedroom closet. Never was discussed. I never touched them because I never touched my dad's truck. I never touched my dad's tools.
Right.
I mean, they were dad's. And they only came out in hunting season. That's it.
Well, you know what? And I like to think that, you know, it's always the NRA is actually not made up of people that have guns in mind, you know, and gun safety. I mean, I think that your average hunter or someone like your dad or my neighbor, he's a big hunter, would say, you know what? No, guns aren't for everybody because guns are fucking dangerous. I mean, I think your most fucking rational people would probably be people that own guns and know what guns do and say, you know what, not everybody needs a gun. And you should probably have to take a class.
I think the most vocal people on guns are the people who view guns as toys, and they're the same people that put big tires on their truck. You know what I'm saying?
Your truck is to pull a trailer
or to get you from point A to point B. It's not to show off how big your truck is. Most people who have trucks use them when they need to be used. Most people who have guns use them when they need to be used. Unfortunately, the vocal people are the people who are the kind of people who put fake scrotums on their trucks. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? I know it's big business, though, really, are the people behind the NRA and the Koch brothers and all that shit again, because it's just all more fucking right-wing bullshit.
Right. And I guarantee you there's more gun owners that don't give a shit about the NRA than there are gun owners that do.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with the NRA. They're losing, like, a million fucking people a year. Because their way of thinking is so outdated and so fucking backwards that even the people in the NRA are leaving. And that just leaves more space, though, for the big corporations to come in and take over and throw money behind. It's just another vehicle because it's already got a built-in lobbying tool.
I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to NRA. I think most people well, I don't say most people, I think a lot of people are seeing it like a corporation and like a lobbying tool that is not legitimate or sincere. It's a corporate-backed entity. The people that want to sell guns want to make sure that every fucking idiot can get a hold of a gun. And I think a lot of people, even gun owners, are just like, no, no, that's not the way things should be.
Well, here's another thing that is fucked up about politics. Like, say you got the NRA, right, and they're trying to fucking force some kind of bill through to say that you can sell a gun to a mentally handicapped person on a Sunday night after midnight and before 3 a.m. or whatever. And then on the same bill, there's probably like a thing, a writer that someone puts in there that's like, yeah, we can also sell cigarettes to 13-year-olds.
Right.
You know, how does that pork barrel shit fucking – that can't be real. And that's purposely – they do that to block other bills from getting through. They'll add a rider to it that they know no one would ever fucking vote for to keep a perfectly legitimate bill from getting through. That's how fucked up politics is.
Politics is fucking disgusting, dude. I mean, from top to bottom, there's some things might happen that you agree with, but for everything that happens that you agree with, there's a host of things that happen that should appall you. You know?
Yeah, I mean, politics is dirty business. It's so outside of common sense that, you know, two-party system is great. When like in the 50s, when someone would give a little and someone else would give a little, you know, and it kind of evens out. Now it's like, no, we're not giving at all. We just don't give.
Right.
We just, and I don't want to say that the Republicans are more guilty of that because I don't really know if they are or not, but I know that they just say it's our way or just forget it. You know, we'll just shut it down. So when everything is a stalemate, the country can't move forward. You know, but the people that are in power, like, that's fine with us. Fine.
Yeah, well, it seems, the more I look at it, the more it looks staged. Like, the things that the Republicans don't give in on and the things that the Democrats don't give in on are really kind of extracurricular things, but the things that they seem to both be in on are pretty fucking important. Like, everybody wants to fucking blow the fuck up out of Iraq and Afghanistan and be in some sort of perpetual war. It means that somebody's going to make some money.
Right.
And keep all the citizens in a state of alarm.
Right.
It's almost like the things that the Democrats and Republicans don't agree on don't really fucking matter. I mean, guns, okay, I guess. Education, that's really only affects us. It doesn't affect me at all, really, personally. What does affect me as a human being is why the fuck are we invading, like, Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff, but Democrats and Republicans seem to be on board with that pretty
and
much.
It's just, dude, it's because they're bought and paid for with the super PACs. I mean, really.
Exactly.
Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, I mean, they're the people that give to the North. I mean, how in common sense would it ever make for us to fucking go over to Iraq and build a whole fucking infrastructure and then blow it up again, then fucking build it again? You know what I mean? That's all we're doing over in the fucking Middle East. You know what? Bring the shit back here and build roads in America first, you know, instead of building them and blowing them up over and over in fucking foreign countries just so you have to keep building them. You can make money here. Bring your fucking trucks and shit here and build roads and do what you got to do. You don't have to do it overseas. You can do it here.
This is true.
Because our
shit, building roads here doesn't help defense contractors.
I know, but can't they? I'm surely they could make it help them somehow, couldn't they? You would think so.
You would think so.
I mean, they haven't got that figured out yet. I mean, they control everything in the United States. Why wouldn't they want to fucking usurp more money from the people? Well, I don't know. Because they do a shoddy job overseas. That's why. Because they can build the shittiest road for fucking $20 million and nobody fucking says anything. Here, if you build a fucking road for $20 million, they expect it to be fucking halfway decent.
Dude, you just fucking nailed it. You nailed the entire fucking cabal right there. It's the defense contractors who need to quote-unquote defend us so they go blow shit up. But then, well, we have to rebuild there, right? So it's a never-ending fucking cycle of blowing shit up and rebuilding it.
Right, exactly. And rebuilding it cheaply, but at an inflated fucking cost. Because there's nobody to check.
Exactly.
On what the fuck they're doing. They just get a big bill. The government gets a big fucking bill for $40 billion. You're like, thank you, cash please. Well, once again, on the Hypersloth Happy Hour, we hope you got some insight into the world, because that's what we're here for. We're here to change minds and change lives, make people's lives better. So I'm glad that you were here with us. Rufus, always glad that you're here, my friend. And I'm digging the idea of the Friday night show. I'm not going to lie. Maybe I'm too stressed out for the Thursday night show, but the Friday night show, I felt pretty good about it. I'm feeling good about it.
I gotta say, I did like the idea of the parentheses over the weekend. You know, ending the week with a Hypersloth show and starting the week with a Hypersloth show. I thought it was pretty good. But I mean, I'm game for Tuesday and Thursday as well, or Tuesday and Friday. I'm game anytime.
I know. I mean, maybe we try Tuesday and Friday. Because Monday, I've got a feeling I won't be in a good mood, and I don't want the whole show to be totally crappy. Because I'm like, eh. Yay, work
no.
Shit.
No, that's called dynamics, dude.
Is that called dynamics?
You should feel free to be in a bad mood. It's the ebb and flow of broadcast media, I guess.
Well, then why on Fox News are they always so happy? Even when we're blowing people up, they're happy. How do they do it, Rufus?
Well, because they're getting paid. And they get paid a bonus every time they're happy about it.
You know what? I get paid. I get paid in changing people's lives, Rufus. That's what's important to me. Dead air. All right, Rufus is out, folks. Looks like it's just me and you going to wrap up the Hypersloth Happy Hour here. Give me a call real quick if you're listening, 646-478-0616. But I know you're not listening because we're only on the podcast now. So call us next week. Call us Tuesday. I think we're going to have a show. So 646-478-0616 next Tuesday or next Friday for the Hypersloth Happy Hour. Been great hanging with you. I'm going to play us out with a little beer as food. And then we'll check you next week. Have a good one. Have a great weekend. Glad we could get it off to a good start for you. Adios. Down, only 40 more left to go. I gotta make a run in a quickie mug and get the show.
Happy Hour with Zig Zag and Rufus.